So a few weeks ago, after one of our normal Sunday services, I think a lot of you were here for this, we had a church lunch. And part of that church lunch, we did a little bit of a quiz. Part of the quiz that we did was I handed out sheets of paper, and on one side of the sheet, there were 10 questions that were 10 Christmas movies that were described by emojis. These are little symbols. And so you had to work out what the titles of the movies were from the clues of the emojis. And so I wonder if you're here this morning and you have a favourite Christmas movie. And even the category of Christmas movies itself can be a little bit controversial. In our quiz, there was a question at one point as to whether The Holiday counted as a Christmas movie or not. Perhaps the most debated Christmas movie is the movie Die Hard. Whether or not that counts as a Christmas movie. But there are others as well that are somehow a little bit debated. There is one Christmas movie that I've never actually seen. It's because it's always on Apple TV and I don't have that. But I would like to see it. And that's the Charlie Brown Christmas special. I don't know if anyone here has seen that one. I have, however, seen a specific clip from the movie that I want to talk about briefly. For the last several years, a friend of mine has done this thing on Facebook that he likes to call the Linus Van Pelt Challenge. And what he does is he asks people to record themselves reading Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14 at Christmas time. And that's because those familiar with the Charlie Brown Christmas special, you might know that at a certain point in the film, Charlie Brown asks what the true meaning of Christmas is, and his friend Linus walks out onto the stage, the spotlight focuses in on him, and he reads the passage that I've read to us a few moments ago, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And whilst reciting the passage, Linus gets to this point where the angel says, "Fear not," and he drops his blanket, which he always holds at every other scene that he's always in. And this was done intentionally by the cartoon's creator as a way of telling his audience that when scripture tells us to fear not, we can let go of the worldly comforts and safeties because we can cling to and trust in God alone. Now, I've got a short two-point outline this morning that reflects the two responses that we see in this passage of the shepherds. These 2 points are simply alarm and audacity. And so firstly, we have alarm. The end of verse 9 tells us that the shepherds were greatly afraid. They were alarmed. In other words, they saw the angels appear, they saw the bright light in the sky that burst from nowhere, and they were terrified. If we were to put ourselves in their shoes for a moment, I'm sure that our initial response would be likewise, one of terror, of shock, and of awe. Now, the climate and the geography of where we live now is slightly different than it is in my hometown of Gloucester. Gloucester sits a little bit more in the valley. Where I live on the edge of Plymouth, we've got a view out of our living room where we can see most of Plympton, even a little bit the other side of the A38 in one direction, and we can see towards Hemmenden in another direction. And a little bit closer, we can see quite a section of Plymbridge Woods. And so one of the things that I was excited for with the view that we have was the prospect of at some point seeing a thunderstorm. We had to wait, I think, 10 months of living in the house before we actually saw a thunderstorm. But one Friday evening, when it was dark, we got home just as the thunder and the lightning started. And we looked out the window and we could see flash, 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 flash throughout the sky. Our children were both excited, but also a bit scared and concerned when they saw the flash. And also when they heard the loud rumbles and growls of thunder. And even for adults sometimes, who know what lightning is, thunderstorms can take us by surprise when there's a sudden flash or the noise. And yet no thunderstorm compares to what the shepherds would have seen that night as the sky lit up and angels appeared from heaven speaking and praising God. It's easy for us to feel afraid when we face the unknown. The shepherds had no idea of what was happening. They had no prior experience of such an event to draw from. They would have been confused and perplexed with no idea really how to react. And perhaps we feel that way sometimes. Perhaps the circumstances of our lives, they might not be as sudden or impactful as seeing angels appear in the sky and lighting it up. But sometimes the circumstances in our life leave us confused and afraid, not knowing what we should do, how to act or react. There's lots of things that are going on in our world that perhaps leave us uncertain of the future. We perhaps are starting to feel the cold a little bit now with rising bills of food and fuel and mortgages and rent over the last couple of years that are continuing even today. We've got political instability. We've got an increase in violence on the streets, even a few days ago in Plymouth city centre with a 14-year-old lad being stabbed multiple times a few evenings ago. Now, like with the shepherds, these things in our lives and in our world can lead us to confusion and instability and to fear. Now, the angels tell the shepherds not to fear. And verse 10 then says that they bring a message that is good tidings of great joys. In other words, they bring a gospel, gospel being good news. And strictly speaking, the content of the angels' gospel message is not exactly the same gospel that we preach today. And what I mean by that is that the angels didn't appear in the sky and say to the shepherds, rejoice because Jesus has died for your sins and risen again from the dead, simply because Jesus had not yet died for the sin of the world and risen from the dead. But it's the same message in the sense that they appeared from the sky and preached that Christ, the Savior of the world, has now come into the world. That God in human flesh has appeared and that he's the fulfillment of all this hope, all this messianic prophecy. It's the start of the fulfillment, with the cross being the kind of point that the birth leads up to. They preached glory to God and peace on earth and goodwill to all men. These are ultimately the things that are the result of the birth of Christ. Christmas set the ball rolling for the plan that will ultimately culminate via the cross in the crown when Christ comes to reign and to rule. And then there will truly be peace on earth and goodwill to men. But in response to this message, the shepherds, they go to Bethlehem, they find the babe in the manger, just as they had been told. But this brings me to the second response. Now, I want to read to you verse 17. I didn't get there in the passage earlier. But verse 17 says this. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. See, this night that the angels appeared in the sky and they went to see Christ in the manger, it changed these shepherds. So first they heard and responded to the words of the angels, but then they went to see the living word of God in human flesh in the manger. It's once they see Jesus that they then have this second response. Seeing Jesus caused this audacity, this boldness in their response. The shepherds made widely known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They went and told anyone and everyone they could. And I used this passage to make a similar point on Sunday, just gone, in regards to our personal evangelism. I just want to read to you a couple of verses from Hebrews quickly. The first two verses of Hebrews says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So in other words, in the past, God spoke at various times and in various ways. He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through a still small voice, through dreams and through visions. He sent angels and he spoke through donkeys and he spoke in all different manner of ways. But today he speaks through his Son. Now, he is not going to be sending a choir of angels to speak to shepherds or to anyone this Christmas time. He's not going to be speaking to Joseph or the wise men directly in dreams in the same way that the nativity narrative describes. This book, this Bible, is his full and final revelation to us as the world. And you and I are the messengers to take the message of this book to the lost people that we interact with in our lives. And as I said on Sunday, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? An encounter with Jesus should change us and we should be motivated to tell others. But I want to think just beyond simply only telling others. And I want you to consider every aspect of your life this morning. Does your life reflect Jesus? In your words, in your actions, in your priorities, in your plans, is Jesus front and center? Now, there are some Christians that I've heard described as CEO Christians. CEO Christians, it means Christmas and Easter only. I don't know if you've heard that one before. Don't let that be you this morning. In fact, don't let that be you in 2026. Now, audacity means to live in a way that is fearless and bold. And this country, this time, it needs now more than ever Christians who are willing to stand up and to speak up for truth and to live in a way that is consistent with the salvation that Jesus has purchased for us. So this Christmas, I'd encourage you to be like these shepherds, to trust God, trust him for your salvation if you never have done, but also for those of us who are saved, who have come to Christ for that salvation, trust him with every moment of our lives from here on out. Now, people have talked about the need to put Christ back into Christmas. And another common saying is a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. Well, I want to mix those two things up and say that Christ is for life and not just for Christmas. Let's not just put Christ back into Christmas, but let's put Christ back into every day of our lives as we seek to live for him and for his glory from here on out.